Hi guys, it's me, Julia. Today's guest is actually incredible. Jen Teplin is the founder and director of the therapy practice Manhattan Wellness. On today's episode, we chat about finding the one and what we should be really looking for. We talk about why the 6'2 finance guy might not be the guy for you, and she makes a case for loving your partner more after having kids. You are going to learn so much from this one. Here's Jen. I am very excited to chat with today's guest. We have been friends on social media for a while now, but I'm excited to chat in real life. She is the founder and clinical director of Manhattan Wellness, a therapy practice for people in New York and virtually as well. Jen Teplin, welcome to Pretty Much Done.
Thank you. I'm very excited to be here.
Me too. I just told you that I had to hit record because we were chatting and you were saying so many funny things. And I was like, save it. You have to save it for the podcast.
Don't worry. It'll just, we'll find ourselves.
Well, I guess I'm going to launch into one of my first questions, which is you've been thinking and talking a lot about the one. You're married. And I said, teach me your ways. Tell me about this idea of finding the one. Like, do we need to find the one? Is there one? What should we be doing? And how should we be approaching this?
If there is the one, I think we are all going to be alone forever. And I don't mean in a negative way, but I just think similar to this idea that there's not one right answer. There's like a lot of options and on a spectrum. And in any given moment, we make the best decision with the information we have. I sort of think dating and commitment and partnership works out the same way. Because the way I was when I was, 25 and met my husband to the person I am today are two starkly different people. And the chances that the one for me at 24 being the one for me today in my mid-30s, I find that to be extremely unlikely. So I think if we stripped away the one and this exact black or white, yes or no, like very, you can't be wrong. It's either right or wrong. There's no in between. And started to look at, do they meet most of my needs? Do we share most of the same values? Do we have most of the same vision? And I think if it's high on that spectrum of, yes, there's more commonality than not and things are flowing, I think that could be your one. I think if I was single right now, I don't know that my husband at 24 would have been my one. That's just not realistic. So I think if we look at it a little more fluid and a little more open-minded, you might find your one who can grow with you. And I think that's more important than the most perfect match that you could ever have.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, most of my listeners are millennial women. Obviously, I'm a millennial woman. And I think that so many of us are of the belief either that we should have like married our high school sweethearts or like our college boyfriends and like invested into them, or we are plagued with someone like myself who's 30 and successful, girl boss, blah, blah, blah. And I'm ultimately like, no one's measuring up. And I feel like I'm going to be single forever. I mean, I don't think that, but like, I'm afraid that I'm not going to find this person who measures up. So you're saying I should be looking for someone who meets most of my needs. How am I also then looking for chemistry? Like, is chemistry important? How do I find someone who's I'm going to have a great history with? Like, where should I be focusing my energy?
That's a really good question. So I want to go back to one thing you said, which is like going back to my high school boyfriend. Your high school boyfriend seems great because your standards at 16 were super low. It was like, buys me something on Valentine's Day, kisses me in front of the football stadium, and records videos with me. At my age, it was like, put videos on my Facebook page, right? So like, if we're using those standards, yeah, he sounds great. What is he like now? Probably not that fabulous. I think chemistry is super important, but I think chemistry builds. If you see someone and you have zero attraction to them, or you are intimate with them and you're like, this is cardio, I'm glad I could check it off my list. That's probably not your person. But I do think that as we get more comfortable with someone, the chemistry builds, the chemistry grows. I also think, especially sexually, like, how could you really enjoy it and be yourself and let yourself flow when you're like with someone who you don't exactly really know, how can you feel safe? So I think when we get safety and security, I really do think chemistry blossoms. But yes, you cannot light a fire without a spark. But I don't think it's realistic to expect sparks going off every single day. That sounds extremely anxiety provoking and really unstable.
Yeah. So I think it would be helpful to understand the story of how you met your husband, and maybe it'll like help us understand how to put it into practice of you have a great relationship, you're thriving, you know, like tell me the story of how you met your husband and like how you were assessing whether he was someone who made you feel safe and like a secure partner that you wanted to marry.
Yeah, I feel very grateful how I met my partner. We were introduced by friends, which I think is so rare. But I also think being introduced by friends is the greatest compliment you could ever have. And after being introduced by mutual friends, I then have now really made it my mission to introduce anyone I can, to the point that I introduced my chiropractor to my friend, and they're actually getting married in June.
Oh my God.
That I'm really so proud of, and I brag about it probably on a weekly basis. But I think setups are the greatest gift you could give anyone. So my best friend from college and his best friend from college actually dated in like middle school and elementary school. Like they have a picture from their fifth grade dance. And 10 plus years ago, they reconnected on a train going home after Christmas. They started dating, and then she knew I was single. He knew he was single, and they thought, let's just push these people together and hope for the best. With that said, if my husband had been on a dating app, we would have never matched. At the time, I was living in Manhattan. I was working in a private practice. I was looking for a 6'2" investment banker who lives in a studio in Soho and like had a cute dog. My husband was living at home in Long Island with his parents. He is not 6'2", and he was in law school. Mind you, he was living at home with his parents because he didn't want to take out loans, which when I look at the values, the thought process, et cetera, like amazing and so attractive. But I think dating apps and being so invested in dating apps, while yes, it gets you to meet new people, it's so limiting in understanding who the person actually is. So I think having that recognition has enabled me to really encourage my clients to be a little more open-minded if that's the route they're taking, or that's sort of part of their Rolodex of their way to meet someone. But when I met my husband, he was in law school. I was a therapist. We were kids. Like we had no idea what we were doing. What I was attracted to, you know, about him was obviously I thought he was cute and handsome and all of that. But I really loved his values. I loved his curiosity. I loved his flexibility because I am so particular. Like in all instances, we recently bought a home and I said, I want to live in this one town and I need to be within a 6-block radius of walking to the center of the town. And there's a set budget. So like there's 3 houses a year that you could potentially buy. And he's standing there like, whatever you want to do, I think it sounds great. So I knew that I needed that. I didn't need someone I could walk over, but I needed someone who was a little more flexible than what my perspective is. And one of my most core values, and to this day, especially now having my own family, was family. I am so close to my family. He's extremely close to his. And that was probably the most important value for me, actually, because I previously dated people who didn't understand why I wanted to be with my family all the time. And it was a barrier I didn't want to have, you know, going into my real adult life. So it was mutual attraction, but it was really values and then life vision. But when you're with someone who's super flexible, you can just modify their life vision. So I sort of talked him into what our new vision was. It's realizing, you know, if you're a more rigid person, you probably want to be with someone who's a little more flexible. I think so often people look for someone who's identical to them. That never works. If two people are extremely flexible, then no decision will ever get made. And if two people are extremely rigid, again, no decision's ever going to get made. And so you really need not your opposite, but someone who's complementary and also someone you flow with. When I have clients that, you know, are dating someone for 4 months and they're fighting all the time about little things, to me, it's a huge red flag. Like, get the fuck out of there, because life is so easy before you have a mortgage, have kids, have a sick parent, someone loses their job. Like, life is really hard. And if during the easiest part, you feel like you are jet skiing, but you're out of the wake and just like bumping along forever. You got to get out of there really fast because it's just not functional. And I think that's what's so hard. And I also think people are so afraid to be alone that they'll take that like vibration of survival just to not be alone with their thoughts or to have to decide what they're going to eat for dinner. And I think that's also something that's really plaguing the millennial woman on their dating search.
Yeah. I think you described that so like perfectly. It was so clear. I resonated with it being the correct way. However, what came to mind as you were speaking when you were like, I wanted the investment banker, the 6'2", you know, I too am someone who, because I am ambitious, am attracted to this ambitious man who has this career for himself. But like, I understand like you, I need someone flexible. And that man who's built this life for himself is usually not. So it's so interesting that like what we need is the opposite of what we are attracted to. And I'm curious, where is that coming from for us? Like, why are we attracted to what is wrong for us?
Totally. It's a great question. And I think there's a really actually simple answer. I think what we're attracted to is what we think we should be attracted to. And I use this phrase often in my practice, like stop shooting on yourself, like stop shitting on yourself. Why am I attracted to that 6'2 investment banker? I'm attracted to him because he's stable, right? So if I take out the superficial of like works at JP Morgan and height requirement, and I actually look at the value, I wanted someone that was stable or could be a part and join in on my stable life. I, similar to you, I like to be a leader. I like to take risks. I was never going to be someone that needed my partner to be stable so I could be a stay-at-home mom. That was just never going to be my life. And I was never going to trust someone with my livelihood. So I didn't really need that investment banker. I mean, don't get me wrong, my husband's a lawyer. He's lovely. He does fine. But if we look at what the value is, you can find that somewhere else. And I think with all of these really superficial checkbox descriptions, if we downward arrow and ask ourselves, like, what does that person offer? Or what's attractive about that aspect of it? It's not that we're attracted to the wrong person. I think we put the wrong label on it. And we put this superficial label on something that's much deeper.
How do we then, if we're using a dating app, and I'm curious what your opinions are on dating apps.
They're great. You use them properly.
Correct. So I think that the issue is, how do we swipe for stability?
That's a good question. I think you use your best judgment. And I, yes, the photos matter, but I think the photos is the first piece. So many clients of mine say, oh, I swipe so quickly. I'm like, then you're doing it wrong. This is user error, not Bumble's problem. To me, you look at the photo. If you are so not attracted to this person, like, okay, fine, swipe left. We're over it. That's fine. But if there's any part of you that could see something about them being attractive, they've passed step one, and now we go to step two and actually read about what they're saying. If someone is sarcastic their entire profile and they haven't said anything serious, they're probably not going to be vulnerable with you. And I would make a judgment that they're maybe not taking dating so seriously. So I probably swipe left. You can still show your humor. And I love someone with humor. We all need it. But you can still show your humor and pair it with vulnerability. But to me, how do we swipe for those values? It's actually sort of assessing and making judgments on a profile, but it's going past just those top pieces. And notice how dating apps set you up. They show you a photo. They tell you their height, their age, where they work, and where they live. I mean, they're asking you to just be superficial.
Yeah. Yeah. The height thing, I don't know why that's a thing.
I mean, Julia, how tall are you?
I'm 5'5", so I can hit the shorties up. I truly can.
I'm 5 feet. Like, who was I? How dare I think that I should have been with someone in the... That should be reserved for a 5'10 and up girly. Like, the apps should actually cross-reference and just say, like, you're too short for him, girl. Move on. Right? Like, why are we all so selfish? I don't exactly know, but it's cringeworthy. I agree. And I also think if someone said to you, you could have the man of your dreams, but he's going to be fill in the blank of whatever your superficial stuck thing is, or you can keep searching for love and you may never find it, I would be curious what most people are going to select. I would choose the man of my dreams who lived in Long Island with his parents. And I made that choice. And guess what? Now he lives in a beautiful home with me and we're expecting our second child and the joke's on everyone else, right? But I also want to say you can't date for the potential of who you want them to be. That's really another error that I see so many clients make where they think, oh, you know, he could, whatever it is. Like, sure, are his values aligned or is that what you hope for him? So I think, yes, we have to assume our partners are going to evolve, right? I could safely assume my husband was going to, you know, graduate, get a job and leave living at home. He wasn't a schlub. But you have to kind of do this dance of really recognizing someone's potential, but their vision for themselves, not who you think they could be. Because we're not puppeteers, and you also don't want to be a stage mom. I did not want to have to manage my husband to make him who I wanted to be. And I also didn't want to mold him. I'm not like an artist. It's dating with a realization of who someone could be, knowing they're going to evolve, but we can't exactly dictate where they're going.
I think that that vision alignment is so important. It's like having that conversation of where do you see your life in 10 years? And for me, like I dated people who lived in certain cities where I was like, I don't think I could live in this city. And you have a career in this city. And I don't know that that's going to work for us.
Yeah. And I think one, it's recognizing it, but then it's two, being willing to take the risk of if it's worth actually having that conversation and seeing what someone's going to say. Because you never know, he may say to you, I totally have a life here. I feel super connected with you. And I'd actually take that risk. That's totally a Taylor Swift song. And I hope that for everyone. But to get to that point, it takes you being vulnerable and actually pointing it out. And I think so often we live in assumptions because it's so scary to be vulnerable. It's so scary to be rejected, right? Like I'd almost rather reject myself because that's easier. Newsflash, it hurts all the same. And I just think you may as well take the swing and see where it goes.
I agree. I believe in putting yourself in the game and not sitting idle and waiting for someone to knock on your door. Like even the friend setup thing. Recently, there was this guy that I went on a couple of dates with who's like successful guy. He ended up like dating another girl. Like he was like seeing both of us at the same time. And it was almost like The Bachelor and she won, which is
totally normal, right? Like, you could date two realistic guys at the same time. You would too.
Yeah, exactly. And like there was no harm. He handled it so well. And he like will comment on my TikToks every now and again. And I texted him. I was like, hey, who do you know in Austin? Like, I was just like,
good for you.
Yeah, you never know.
And you know what you just did there? You know when you're like on Shopbop and then after you put it in your cart, there's like other things you might like. That's what you did. And that, when I said like using dating apps, if you use it properly, what you just did, it just opens the door. Like, he's with someone else. Let's wish him well. Also, if you were happy, I'm not sure you'd be commenting on my TikTok. That's a separate issue and I'm not his therapist. But absolutely, like, why not ask? Because if you like that blouse, you might like the other one that they're recommending.
Totally, 100%. And
what did he say?
He was like, no one that I would set you up with.
Isn't that the most annoying response? But also, you don't want to get set up with the loser or the guy that just isn't going to be a right fit. But I really do believe that if people took enough time, they could find someone that they would. I mean, I even sometimes will look at my husband and say, who are the guys that you work with? You know, are any of them single? Or he goes golfing and I'll say, okay, who was in your foursome? It's fine. I also think married women, pregnant women are the best people to approach strangers. I also will literally be out with my husband and my daughter in a stroller. And I will walk up to someone if they don't have a ring and they look nice. Because the reality is, like, I clearly don't want to be with you. So let's see if there's someone else who does. And I think that it really, it's important to ask your friends who are partnered or who aren't in the market to be your advocates because they're the best advertisement you could get.
I love that. I love that this is your mission. Like, everyone needs a wingman like you.
Once it worked for me, I just felt like I had to pay it forward. And I love your use of wingman because I'm not going to be the wingman that goes out with you until 3 a.m. But I will approach any young, attractive male who doesn't have a ring on his hand.
But I want you to find the guy at the farmer's market with your stroller. I don't want you to find the guy at the bar. The guy at the bar sucks.
That's my one limitation. But like, I will, daylight hours, I will so nonstop for you. And I really think, but again, it's vulnerable of asking a friend and saying, like, I'm really open to setups. If you can think of anyone, or if you can ask your partner, the partner is probably the better person to rattle off his friends than I am to sit here and like cherry pick random people off a conference call. But it's being vulnerable, it's putting yourself out there, and it's being okay making the ask. And for women, it is so hard to ask for what we want or need. We don't want to be needy. We don't want to be selfish. We don't want to seem desperate. There's nothing desperate about advocating for yourself.
Yes, I know. 100%. I know we don't want to look like we're desperate, but I think that playing it cool can keep you single for another 10 years. I'm very anti-desperate.
I also think that like in the beginning of your 20s and even in mid-20s, I feel like there's something taboo about saying you want to be in a relationship and saying you want to be partnered. And at some point, one, we should get rid of that because partnership is amazing. It doesn't mean you don't want to have your friends anymore. It just means you want to add to your life. But I think if at some point we shifted and it was okay to want to be partnered, the stigma and the like sticky piece of it would probably move away quicker and the obstacles would, you know, kind of become invisible.
Well, I think that some people put on this facade of they're pretending like they don't want to be partnered because, first of all, there's this mantra that I hate that it happens when you least expect it. We can discuss that. But it's like, I think people are forcing themselves not to expect it, like to be like, okay, universe, like I'm not expecting it. Bring him here. But I don't know that I agree that it happens when you least expect it.
I don't believe in it happens when you least expect it. I believe in it happens when you are your best self. So it's not about not expecting it and pretending like we don't want it. It's about not sitting around and begging people to set you up and posting thirst traps, hoping that guy that you went on that one date with sees the story. Like, guess what? That story is not going to work for him. And if it does, it's not for you.
Yeah. You know, I've been thinking a lot about this because I'm 30 and like I should want to be in a relationship and I do want to be partnered. Like, you know, yeah, like I definitely should. My mom, if she was listening, she would be like, yeah, you should have like 5 years ago. But I know right now I'm building out my business and like trying to figure out my career stuff. I don't want to meet a guy right now. Like I'm not where I want to be.
If a guy walked in, you'd say no, thank you. Bullshit.
No, no, no. But
what are you actually saying though?
I mean, no, I'm not like, I'm very much like, if the right guy came, amazing. But if I'm going to go on the apps right now and the people that I'm attracting, I think it's going to be from a place of lack of like me trying to have a distraction from what I'm trying to build. Like, I don't want it to just be someone to spend a few hours with, you know?
Absolutely. But I do believe that you are actually open to partnership. What you're saying is, I'm prioritizing myself right now, which newsflash, he's going to walk through your door in 2 days because of that.
I hope that you find him at the farmer's market.
I'm going to. I literally, now that I know where you're located, I have a friend, literally one of my oldest childhood friends, moved there with his wife. So don't you worry.
Oh my God. I love that. Amazing.
To me, it's like make the ask for anyone who you want. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest compliment. Every day, I'm so grateful that my dear friend set Danny and I up. And full disclosure, she's actually a therapist at my practice now. Her name is Liz. And she's the best sex, dating, relationships therapist that we have. Everything comes around full circle.
I love that. Something that you have talked about, I think you've spoken about this in different articles, but like, it was funny. Someone, a coach recently asked me, he was like, do you know what you want? And I was like, Yeah. Like I know what I want. Well, I'm still trying to figure out like the Jewish piece, like if I need someone Jewish. And then I guess I'm not sure if I want kids. And he's like, so you don't know what you want.
We have no idea what we're looking for here.
So is this what's plaguing everyone? Like, I feel like so many people can list off the qualities that they don't want quicker than they can list off the qualities they do want.
Yes. I equate it to going car shopping. You can apply it to whatever you want though. I personally would not walk to a car dealership and say, I don't want a red car, I don't want a sedan, and I don't want a light interior, right? I would say, I want an SUV with a mega sunroof. It needs to be black so it doesn't show dirt, and I want it to be gas efficient. And I think it's so easy to notice what we don't want. we can just kind of check those things off, but we're never going to lead with our don'ts. We need to lead with our do's. And I think when you speak about like the, do I need someone Jewish? Do I need someone X, Y, or Z? Again, it's sort of on a spectrum of like, what do you need versus what would be nice to haves? And then starting to become flexible. Like for me, I needed someone who valued family. My family is at my core everything. I wanted someone who was Jewish. I ended up with someone who's half Jewish, but we're raising our children Jewish. So he may as well be, right? That was just important to me because I think I'm not religious in my Judaism, but my values align very much with Judaism. And so that was something I could be flexible on. But again, I knew his personality and I knew how strongly he felt about religion. And because he was more flexible than I was there, we could agree to it. And trust me, there are many things that he feels strongly about that I begrudgingly compromise on because that's how you make a relationship work. So I think it's, again, your true non-negotiables, your need-to-haves, and then I think it gets a little softer on a gradient of nice-to-haves or if my dream person showed up, he might have a private plane. Like, trust me, that was also on my list. It didn't happen, but I'm surviving in this tough world.
Yeah. So when we're doing the manifestation list, it's like focus on your need-to-haves, not your nice-to-haves. And I think that so many people falter a little because they think they can't have it all as well. Like, I almost think that me compromising the Judaism thing is because I think that I'm not going to meet the guy who has all the qualities I'm looking for and is Jewish.
It's interesting. Is it because you feel like that guy can't have that aspect, or is that what you're most willing to compromise on?
The former, for sure. I think I'm a little bit non-traditional in terms of like being a Russian Jewish girl. And I'm wondering if I can find that flexible guy who's also Jewish and not like crazy religious Jewish. Like, I feel like I'm culturally Jewish. So it's like finding that guy.
I would say most of us in this generation are culturally Jewish. But I agree with you. And I think you can find him. I also think it's okay if you're flexible on that one piece of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, we shoot for the moon. But just identifying what is a total non-starter? Like, are you unwilling if someone has a child? Are you unwilling to be a stepmom, right? And that'd be totally okay if you didn't want to be one. Would also be really cool if you wanted to have a kid without having to be pregnant and labor and stay up all night with them. Either way works, but that to me is, you got to be clear on that, right? I think you have to be clear on, does he want to live in a city or does he want to live in a suburb? Or can you guys be flexible in growing that vision together? I think that as we age in dating, people's lives become more rooted and a little less flexible. So I think those pieces become more important. But I will also say, what's awesome about meeting someone when you're 30 or you're 31 or you're 36 is that the relationship evolves much quicker. When you meet someone at 24, we date for 3 years, then we get engaged and things move slowly. Because it should. And I think that as you become more mature in your life, not in a bad way, in a good way, you can just make quicker decisions because you're just smarter, you're more knowledgeable, and you're more confident in them.
Yeah. Should you also, sorry to use should, but do we also manifest or write down how we want to feel with that person? Like, I think that that's an important aspect as well.
Yeah. And I would challenge you how you want to feel when you're with them or how you want to feel in general. Like, I'm not with my husband right now. He's not going to be home until 8 o'clock tonight, but I feel so supported, right? I feel like I could do whatever it is that I need to do and I know he would have my back. And I think it's important to notice, how do you feel when you're physically with the person, but how do you feel when you're not with the person, but you're still partnered to them? And that second one, I think speaks volumes because there are so many people that when I'm not with my partner, I feel really insecure. And that has to tell us something about the relationship versus when my partner's not with me, I know we're good. I could go away for a week and I come back and I know we're still stable. And I don't mean married with a kid, like let's cross our fingers. That's not the conversation. But when you're dating, I think so many people think out of sight, out of mind. And is it that, or is it, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder? And can we be confident in the relationship, even if we're not having such frequency face-to-face time?
Right. Yes, that's good. I like that. I feel like I need to revisit my manifestation list knowing these things, because I think that so many, and I've interviewed people on this podcast who have manifested a 6'2 guy with this. Yeah. But I think that there are so many important things. And you know, that on the kid piece, it's interesting. I dated someone who did have a child and I had to be faced with that. I didn't have a point of view on it prior. So there are certain things that you don't have a point of view on, but dating allows you to figure out, okay, what is my point of view moving forward?
Totally. And I want to say, it's great that you know people who have manifested the 6'2 banker, whatever else the qualities are. I want to know what that relationship is like when shit gets real. When someone gets sick, when someone loses their job, when something unexpected happens, when it's not so rosy, I'm curious how that person shows up. And that's not to say every 6'2 banker can't show up in a certain way, but like if that's what they're leading with, it just leaves me kind of wondering, like, what do the other pieces look like? The parts that we're not putting on Instagram, how rosy are those?
Yeah, I like that. I like that coming up with that list from the perspective, which is, I guess it's like a little bit not romantic or a little bit realistic, but it's like, let's come up with the list based on when I get sick, if I lose my job, you know, if we have to uproot, like how that person acts and behaves in those moments.
Yeah. And a great way to see it is so simple. It's when something unexpected happens, when you're at the airport and your flight gets canceled, when his mom calls and says something annoying to him, seeing how he speaks to her. Like, we can see how the big things are going to play out with these tiny. You order in Chinese food and the order is wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I think how he speaks to his doorman or the cleaning lady, like, that's so important to pay attention to and recognize. And I don't think a lot of people do it. And I'll also say something that I think is a big challenge is having this laundry list of what you want and then you not being able to live up to your own list. So many times clients said, I want someone who really values health and works out every day. And I'm like, when's the last time you worked out? I don't really have the time. Okay, so that's just not aligned. That's not a fair preference or priority on a partner. So I think we also have to take a hard look at what are we bringing to the table, our good and our shitty, and realize we have to be okay with someone else having some shitty. And the question is, can I put up with their shitty stuff?
Or even like, no shade to these women, but people are like, I want to be with a man who's like a CEO because I don't want to work ever. And it's like, okay, so like, you want him to work and also like support you emotionally and this and that. And it's like, what are you bringing to the table? Like that you're fit and hot? I don't know.
It works out for someone, right? I just don't think I'm that someone and I don't think you're that someone, but like that person exists. Is that their one? Again, I don't think so. You know, what someone's standards and priorities are at the time in their life when they meet their partner.
Yeah, I think getting clear on that is really important. And I think that it's something that I need to do. Like it's an exercise I need to do because when that guy asked me what I wanted and I led with what I didn't, it really took me aback. And I thought, this must be something that's plaguing a lot of people and not just me.
100%. And I also think even once we get into relationships, then I think women have this feeling of, oh, I need to just be flexible and chill and like not have many needs. That's also not realistic because a year from now, you are going to have needs and there's going to be a standard of you do it. Like I kind of think of, did you watch Marvelous Miss Maisel?
Yeah, only a few seasons, but yeah.
Hopefully you saw an episode where she gets in bed with her husband, full hair, full makeup, fit in her nightgown. He falls asleep, that she runs to the bathroom, takes off her hair, takes off the makeup, falls asleep, and then wakes up before he does so she can do her hair and put the makeup back. That to me was such a good vision of a woman who cannot be her real self and someone who just wants to please their partner so they'll stay. And you can maintain that for a few months, but at some point you can't. And then you're going to resent your partner. You're going to have this weird conversation where you actually let them know you do in fact poop. And you do, in fact, you know, have a pimple on your chin and you're not perfect. And then it becomes awkward and it's just not a good flow. So I think the more we can be ourselves at the beginning and be clear on it, the better. I will say you also may meet a guy that doesn't check any of the boxes that you anticipate, but is there enough of something going on that you can make the adjustments and are enough of your needs being met. And I really think when we look at it from a values perspective, it sort of starts to shade what we're really looking for in a nice way.
Yeah. And to the point of like the active guy or wanting a guy to be active, like when I see a guy on a dating profile say, hopefully you are someone who works out regularly or whatever, I'm a swipe left on that guy because I'm like, if you are judging me based on my activity levels,
you're like, not like me.
Like I like to work out, but only so that I can eat food. Like, you know?
And here's a hot take also. If he's got a photo of him golfing, make sure you're cool being alone for half a day on Sunday. I love alone time. So that really, that hobby works for me. Who wants to be with their partner 24/7 on the weekends? Unless you're a golf girly, which there are becoming more of, girlfriend, he may not be for you. And that has to be okay. I just think we have to look at what's in front of us and what it means and be okay with the reality of it.
You did this interview for Cosmopolitan, and honestly, I was like blocked out of the article, so I couldn't read the whole thing. But the headline was that you should only see your partner once a week. Do you remember this interview? Like, what was it like? You should not see your partner every day. Is that the gist?
That's the gist. Everyone comes up with such a catchy headline, and you're like, what the fuck? The idea really is it's not realistic to be with someone unless you live together, but most people when they're dating do not. It's not realistic to be together every night. It's not realistic to have a sleepover every single night. And I think my point in that article is that it's great to find a partner, but we need to keep up all aspects of our life and really find the balance. And I think that's very hard to do because ideally, if you're single right now, you are filling your life completely and you're not sitting around sad. It can be filled with listening to an audiobook in your bathtub. That's not empty space. That's filled. But then when we're adding a partner in, and let's say we want to see them 50% of the time, now we have 50% less time for those other fillers. So that's really my biggest takeaway is how can you balance all aspects of your life while also starting to build a life with this partner? And it'll naturally shift the percentages. But even once you live with that person, then you can check the box and you actually don't have to make such pointed time all the time to see them because it's just naturally going to happen.
Yeah. And you also, you were quoted saying that you said, my favorite piece of advice is the idea that every day we wake up and decide to feel affection towards our partner. I feel like I want to hear what sort of what that means to you, but it sounds like as long as you're filling your cup and you feel fulfilled, then you have the room to give that affection to your partner instead of them trying to fill this hole within you and give you affection. And you're like, woe is me. My partner's not paying attention to me, you know?
100%. And how I sort of see it is we wake up every day and choose to love our partner. Similar to when someone says you choose to wake up on the right side or the wrong side of the bed. You can wake up in the morning and you can lean in. And, you know, I turn to my husband and, you know, I say, I love you. Good morning. Like, she's crying. Who's doing it? It's definitely me. Right? And like be a little playful. Or I can wake up in the morning and be like, our daughter's crying. You never wake up because you don't hear the monitor. You also didn't take out the garbage last night when I asked you to. Have a great day, right? And both are valid wake-ups. Both existed, right? But you're either going to choose to lean in or you're going to choose to lean out. And I just find, hopefully, it's natural for you to lean into your partner and see the good. But if you notice that you're constantly leaning out, take that as a sign to there maybe not being something so great going on here.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's maybe either time to pour into yourself or pour into couples therapy and kind of like work on this.
Totally. And there's something in Gottman therapy and the therapists in my practice that do couples therapy are Gottman trained, and it's bids for affection. So it would be like if you looked outside and you said, oh, it's so beautiful out today. And your partner could be like, yeah. Or he could say, you're right. It's so beautiful out. Do you want to go for a walk? Or it's so beautiful out. I hope it's nice this weekend. And so it's this idea of leaning in and building on each other versus just kind of a hard stop. And I find so many clients say at the beginning of dating, like, what am I going to talk to him about? It's so awkward. If the bids for connection are there, if you're both leaning in and engaging, you're going to feel like, oh my God, we were together for 4 hours. It felt like we had one drink. And that's how you know things are flowing really nice. When you're on that date and you're like going through your Rolodex of questions, that's just an obvious sign that it's not a fit.
Yeah. Sometimes it feels like, as a straight woman, like the man's not catching on to the bids for affection. Like, you're like, he's not taking the bait.
You know, it's hard to be a woman, but I think it's harder to be a man because they're just not as capable. And I think we need to just empathize and own it. But I do believe your person, not your one, but your fit is going to be able to have that flow with you naturally. And I find that we're so often so focused on, ooh, does he like me? And I wonder what the dynamic would look like if you started to focus on, oh, do I like him as the priority?
Yeah, I think I'm going to add that to my manifestation list where it's like he wants to actively take my bids for affection. Yeah.
If he doesn't, it's just not the right fit for you. And some women don't need someone to accept as many bids, right? There are some girls like the woman you're talking about that's married to like the rich CEO. You can tell like, there's something going on here. We don't know. But like, I guess it's your bank account. Those people may not need bids for connection. But I believe an authentic, real, genuine connection of what you're talking about, it's going to be a braid and it's going to be kind of this tapestry of just yes and, right? Like just building on each other. And I think a really natural way to look at it is when you're ordering takeout and you're like, oh, I want Chinese food. There's two types of people. There's the, no, I don't want Chinese food, which is a rejection and not a bid and totally leaning out. Or it's the, whenever I have Chinese food, it makes me feel swollen. What do you think about Greek? And you want the guy who's going to offer up that alternate idea. You don't always want to be holding the hot potato. And I give that real life example because I find so often we share things that are so not relatable. Most people listening to this are going to order takeout with someone they're dating. And it's just a great way to see, do you take co-responsibility and workshop it together? Or are you just being forced to draw out this entire life? And if so, it's going to feel exhausting after a while.
Yeah. I'm going to like butcher this, but I recently heard some business advice from a CEO. And it was like, for every problem that you encounter in your career, I want you to come to me with two solutions for how to fix it. It's like, we can't talk about problems all day. Let's talk about how we fix this. Like, you know, because just like focusing on what's going wrong is not going to get us to the solution.
And it's also not going to empower anyone to feel capable to have the solution. My favorite thing when I'm working with providers at my practice who are in leadership positions is to say to them, okay, thank you for sharing that. What do you think the options are? And it's not because I'm lazy, but if my solution is the only solution, we have a huge problem here. Nothing would be sustainable. And I think so many people aren't given the opportunity to problem solve and even make a mistake so that they can't feel strong or smart or like they could do it. I agree. Bring me two solutions and give me your best one. And then let's workshop it together and be willing to hear a different point of view.
Totally. I want to ask you, as someone who is expecting her second baby, I think that if my therapist were in the room with us, she would be like, Julia's got fears around having kids. Can you satiate our fears around impacting your relationship? Or even if you don't have to.
It does impact your relationship. I think it impacts your relationship like anything does, though. And it's so interesting because I had to start making more asks of my husband once we had our daughter. And I think I'm so strong and so capable and can basically do anything I need to do. And it wasn't that I wasn't willing to make asks of him, but if I thought I could do it better, I wasn't asking him to do it. And now that I'm just spread a little thinner, I have to make those asks. And now I see that he can do it. So now I ask him to do more stuff. And I also think people worry about, will I still feel connected to my partner? Will I still feel X, Y, or Z? I love my husband the most when I see him with our daughter. It is like the sweetest, cutest thing ever. And it just, you find new reasons to love your partner every day. But when you add children to the mix, you're amplifying it by 10. And for anyone who says having kids doesn't change your life, they cannot have kids. You are not the same person, but you're for the better. And I think your capacity grows. And as long as you're with someone who you can partner with and a teammate. And again, like that's based on values. That is not based on looks. But if you're with someone who wants it and is okay laughing with you when your daughter squirts her yogurt all over their sweatshirt and there's poop on your cheek and you're up at 2 a.m. someone's crying, then you found your right person. And I really mean it when I say my attraction for my husband with every child, like even so I'm due with our second in May, I am more attracted to my husband today than I was 5 months ago before I became pregnant. And I can't explain why, but being pregnant has given more opportunities for him to support me and encourage me and do everything. And it's very vulnerable being pregnant. And when your partner can step up for you, that's again, another bridge.
That was a good sell.
I don't know. I think it's great. But with that said, I'm really tired. And, you know, sometimes I feel like my daughter needs an exorcism, but a lot of the times it's really sweet and it's great, but it's hard. But I also think life is hard. So you kind of have to choose what you want your hard things to be, because not having children doesn't mean you're not going to have challenges.
Sure. That's a good point. That's a fair point. That's great. Before I let you go, I want to ask you, what's like one thing someone can do today to pour a little bit into themselves if they're looking to find their partner and find someone who matches their wavelength, like one little tip that they can start doing?
Carving out time to be on your own, that's purposeful. I find that single individuals, especially single women, dread alone time, because if I'm alone, it means I'm lonely. I have nothing better to do. No one wants to hang out with me. And if you shifted it and you said, rather than hanging out with myself when I have nothing better to do, and you said, Friday night's for me, here is my plan, and almost take yourself on a date, that to me is the best way to pour into yourself. And to also realize, I'm not going to be happy when I find the partner. I'm not going to be happy when I get the job. I'm going to be happy and the job is going to come. The partner is going to come. Happiness and feeling full in your life is a magnet. So when you actually take control and realize your joy, your happiness, everything is in your hands, I think you can be really empowered to take that step forward.
Yeah. Love that. I love that. Jen, this was just a delight. Like, you are a delight. I'm so happy you are on. I feel like I'm going to text you for all my like advice.
Come on over. I'm up every hour of the night right now. But it's just such a treat. So thank you for, you know, giving me the space to have the conversation. And I really believe that everyone has the potential to meet their partner. It's about their mindset. It's about their headspace. And it's about being willing and being willing to be vulnerable, because that's what's going to lead to connection.
You really made a good sell for it. We all want to have a partner like yours and a relationship like yours.
You can do it. I want to say, like, I'm in a great relationship. It still sucks sometimes. And I think that's so important. And no one ever says it. Like, life is hard. Get a helmet. Mine's on at all times. But I know that I can figure it out with my partner. And I think that's the most important thing I was looking for.
Totally. Tell everyone where they can find you and work with you as well.
So my practice, our website is manhattanwellness.org. If you're looking for therapy, if you're looking for support, if you're looking for funsies mixed in with a little therapeutic tools, go to our Instagram. It's manhattan.wellness. And we share tips, tricks, ideas, memes. I share some cringeworthy stuff every day. So if you want to laugh at me, you can see us there. But really, you know, the goal of my practice is to support women going through their life phases. And it really is the practice I wish existed when I was in my 20s or 30s.
Yeah. Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julia.
Thank you for listening to Pretty Much Done. If you want more information about this episode, you can check our show notes. Go like, subscribe, and leave a review, because it helps us grow the pod. Love you. Thank you. Sorry, did I just love bomb you? I'm not toxic. You are. Okay, bye.